Well, this morning, once again, we are reminded of what it means to be in Christ. And there are many, many aspects, I think, here. Now, in your bulletin here, I just want to highlight something for you. I'm always delighted when people attempt poems and then, you know, share them with me. So I want to highlight one particular poem written by Li Hua. I don't know where she is. Is she here? Okay, anyway, so this is, so she said, off to family camp. It's on page 11. So if you want to, then there's another one that for children, they were asking for a page for children. So just want to tell the kids, if they are looking for something in the bulletin, now we're going to try something every week. Okay, so this is a little thing here, and it's a simple poem about a lad who has 5 loaves. Well, just think about it, and it's really quite applicable as well. So there's something for everyone, so I'm going to start writing again, and then we'll just see how this works out. And then, of course, there's a regular feature. Okay, now let's take a look at on page 8 now. There is a Bible memory verse that you want to consider. And this talks about Christ being the head of the church. Well, let's read this together and before we take up the Lord's word. Okay, here we go. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Well, that's what we want to consider, and we want the Lord always to have preeminence in everything we read, and we learn, we experience the reality of it all. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather, to read, to learn what we can from your word. This morning, as we think about how to improve our prayer life, we pray that you would encourage our hearts much. Teach us how to desire to learn how to pray a little bit better. We ask you to bless as we read your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I just want to ask you to remember in special prayer, there is a fairly young man who I've been visiting in hospital on Friday and Saturday. I told him I will see him after we come back from camp. This name is Mr. Kwang. Ting Woon is his name. He's a Malaysian, and he is only 49 years old. Now, he started off with a bladder cancer problem, and then operation was successful, but the cancer had spread. The cancer has gone into the bones now and also appearing on the lungs. So he's not even 50 yet. He'll be 50 in a short while's time. But the doctors are not holding out very much hope that he will live through this year. So what do we pray about? You know, when we see situations like that, what do we pray about? So I shared with him about love for God, the love of God, what it means to have faith. What do we pray about? How do we actually pray? Right? And this is a real challenge. And so this word this morning that we are thinking about really is really more relevant than we think. So let's take a look at Colossians 1. And let's focus on it. What do we pray about? How do we pray? 1 in verse 3, this is natural for Paul. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Prayer must become so natural. It's a natural part of us. Right? No matter how busy, no matter how tired, when we hear of somebody at 49 years old, facing death, I think the first response must be that of prayer. Well, how do we pray? I mean, sometimes we take a look at it. We often take for granted our health. We often take for granted our life. And we think that, you know, we shall be all right. Now, every time I see people who are dying and they are much younger than I am, my heart goes out to the family. He's got three young children, and they're from Malaysia, but they're studying here. That is a real challenge. What do we pray about? Well, Paul says we're praying always. But how do we pray? And always we must find inspiration to pray. Well, let's take a look at verses 9 to 13 this morning from Colossians 1. Remember, our focus is still in Christ Jesus. Now, at first value, when you first read it, it seems that there were many items that Paul prayed for. And technically, you're right, there are many things to pray for. But actually, if you study this very carefully, there are only two main goals that he prayed about. Well, let's take a look at how this is constructed. And the key word is found in the word in verse 9, for example, and that word is that. For this reason, since we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you that. This is very important, you know, to pray for you and to ask that. Now, constructed literally, it has that is a goal. Sometimes our prayers have no goals. Right? What are we praying about? It's like playing football, and then we play, and then we kick here, we kick there. It's beautiful display, but no goals are scored. That's not interesting. Well, so we want to know what it is. So are there goals in prayer? And we learn an important lesson. Let there be goals in our prayer. And Paul definitely had two definite goals. One is found in verse 9, that. The other found is verse 10. Okay, and this is the translation over here, that you may walk worthy. And these two words, it's a little indicators. The word that is just what we call an indicator. In the Greek text, it's a little bit differently constructed. But the word that is a good translation, a good understanding of the two goals. There are a number of ways you can express goals in prayer. It's translated in English that as simply that. You know, it is so much more uplifting when you pray with a certain goal in mind. And a lot of times we pray generally, and we don't seem to see a goal. Where are you going with your praying? All right, let us say we pray about something. What is your goal at the end of the day after you pray? What are you looking for? What are you looking at? And that is important. What is it? And this is where we begin to look at the two goals in Paul. Well, let's take a look at very carefully at verse 9, and then you see the depth of this goal. A goal may be simply stated, but you know, you can analyze it further. You begin to understand there are a number of things to think about. Okay, do not cease to pray for you and to ask. Now, watch this very carefully. Okay, one is to pray and the other one is to ask. Now, that is where prayer becomes different. Where we pray, it could be anything. Lord, thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you that we're going to camp. That's prayer. But once you say you ask, then you must ask. What are you asking for? See, there is a difference between praying and asking. Sometimes they are substitutable. Sometimes they are distinguished. In this case here, it is distinguished. I am praying daily. I'm praying without ceasing. But I am asking. Now that's nice to be able to have that. Now there is a definite goal, right? This is important that we have to ask, what is the goal? What is it all about? And so we see the word asking what? What is the goal? What is it we are asking for? And this is very, very much in line with what we should pray about as we enter into camp. Now, I like what Milton said in looking forward to reading Book of Isaiah. I think that's wonderful. I want to go deeper in the knowledge. I think that's wonderful. So there will be 500 people, different goals for everyone almost. But here is one that is really worthy of consideration. What is it? And it's a prayer that we must make. It's a prayer that I make as a pastor for our church all the time, that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, why do we want to read a hard book like Isaiah? That we may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Isaiah cannot be read outside the Chronicles. The Chronicles cannot be read outside Isaiah. They dovetail. They've got to go together. But what are we doing when we read? Now we have a bit more knowledge about Isaiah. Nope. We want to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. What is God's will? Now we seldom ask that question. If I am 49 and dying, you know what I want to ask? Lord, what is your will for me to do before I die? I mean, all of us should be asking the question too, right? What is your will? What do you want me to do before I die? You know, sometimes the world is described as made up of three types of people. One, there are people who make things happen. Two, there are people who watch it happen. And three, there are people who don't know what happened. And I think we all have that problem. What happened? We need to know. I would rather be among those who make things happen rather than watch what happens. And suddenly, I don't want to belong to the third category. What happened? How do you get there? And the challenge is to know what is His will. If only we will understand. There's something that we need to know. You know, in a film that was made on the life of John Newton, and about how there was a man, Wilberforce, and how he argued in Parliament to abolish the slave trade, to make sure it will never get into England. England, Great Britain, was spared from this slave trade problem. America wasn't. And it was a great debate. And William Wilberforce argued so strongly, he turned the tide. And so slave trading never occurred in Great Britain. Few realize that there was another agenda, and something else on the agenda of Wilberforce when he argued in Parliament. Guess what it was? He argued that the English East India Company, EIC, must stop harassing the missionaries in India. He argued strongly that they should support them instead of always, you know, people like William Carey, they couldn't go to India unless they were given a piece of paper that say you have permission to be there in India. Otherwise, you'll be arrested, deported, fined, and jailed. And this hindered the work of sending out missionaries to India and other parts of the world. The person behind the argument for this was Wilberforce. These were the two major things that he fought for the Lord. And the person who backed him up in prayer was John Newton. It's not easy to be an MP in Parliament. It's not easy to stand against the tide. But given his giftedness in oratory, he turned askew. But there were many, many times that he was so discouraged, he wanted to give up. He says, I'd rather be a pastor. And John Newton said, no, God placed you there. You got to do your part. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will. It is not God's will to have slavery. It is not God's will for EIC to prohibit missionaries going to India. And they were hindered left, right, center in the ministry in India. You are that man for the hour. A man of the hour. What a wonderful thing it is. But filled with all knowledge of his will. See, a lot of us don't know what God's will is. And if we know it generally. We must seek to pray that God will reveal to us his word. What is his will? And I think that is something we should pray about. You see, it's about God's will, and he has to reveal this to you. If he does not reveal this to you, you will be in darkness. But how do we get there? The only way to get there is to pray and to ask. Now, there is where prayer and praying and asking are differentiated. One is to pray, I'm talking to God. One is to ask, what are you asking for? What do you wish? Well, this is Paul's wish. And he said that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. How wonderful it is. You see, a lot of people know God's will in a very general idea. The challenge is to know God's will in wisdom and all spiritual understanding. That's where you see the sharpness of knowing God's will. Well, we want to have, we're glad the Burmese brethren are here. Now, what was the Lord's will for us to minister there? If that will had not been discerned and determined right from the start, it would just be missionary work. But in the revelation of God's will, we began to understand that we must set up a Bible school that has existed for 20 over years now, 22, 23 years, since 1995. From there, we pray that God will raise up leaders, and they are now Bible school teachers and missionaries and pastors. And two of them in an orphanage work grew up, and they are going to stay on in Singapore to train as student pastors. How did it all start? When we are filled with the knowledge of his will. And so our ministry there began with the knowledge of his will right from the start. And then we just followed through. You see the significance and the necessity to pray along this line? That's what we need to do. And that's what we followed through. It's not a secular program. It is a very, very important spiritual program. And that is what we must pray for. Okay? So may we make this our prayer. Let's pray that we may be filled, that the word is filled. Having a little bit of knowledge and a big bug, a mug here, is useless. It must be filled. It's not a debate of empty, half full. No idea. It's full. Filled. Don't stop. Keep on seeking to be filled. Until it is filled, keep praying. Keep seeking. That must be the way. We pray towards a goal. What is that goal? Filled. Now that is wisdom. Now watch that. Not just knowledge, spirit, wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is how you determine the will of God. And once you understand it, you can pursue, you can know with great confidence that's how it is. And that is something that we will be assured of. Okay, number two. Well, let's look at the second goal there. And this is certainly in keeping with what we are going to be learning. And Paul wrote, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, that's the second goal. There are actually two goals on it. The rest are just details. Now, the details are important too. But watch this. There is a definite walk worthy. Now, it came in the language of Isaiah 2:5. We are encouraged to walk in the light of the Lord. That is another way of putting it is walk worthy. What does that mean, walk worthy? Well, let's look at the details now. What walking worthy means. Okay, one. Fully pleasing Him. That is so important. See, a lot of people are not conscious of the need or desire to fully please the Lord. But it is just so vital. A lot of people are living as Christians, but they are not conscious that I ought to pray, let me walk worthy. What does it mean? One, am I fully pleasing Him? Aspect number one. Let's go on further, very quickly, to the other aspects. Okay, two, being fruitful in every good work. See, they're all part of the same thing, right? So take a look at these things very carefully. Walk worthy of Him, you know, in everything, in every good work we're doing. Also watch this, in fruit bearing. Being fruitful in every good work. So it's not just looking at something. The question is, what kind of fruits can we see? Now, this is absolutely important. Shortly after the camp, family camp is over, in fact, the day out on Easter Monday, we will be holding a pastoral conference. And one of the topics we'll be studying is to look at the whole idea of church building. How do we do church growth work? And it's quite a lot of work to be studied, to be considered, and it's wonderful to know this. A key word is we want to be fruitful. No point planting a church only, we'll try. We don't do trying. We plant, we want it to be fruitful. We don't do trying. We succeed. That's what we do, right? That's what we want to do. Enough of trying and failing. We begin to try building Bethany-type churches. And we want to succeed, not fail, fruitful. What's the point of putting in all the effort only to fail? Isn't it a waste of time, energy, money, and everything else? We want to be praying. This is how we walk worthy. We walk worthy, pleasing Him. We walk worthy by being fruitful. If we are not fruitful, we're not walking worthy. You see, the key idea is to walk worthy. And then the details follow from this category called walk worthy. Now we go on further. Fruitful, right? Increasing in the knowledge of God. We want to walk worthy. Increase. You know, sometimes we think that we are reading the Lord's word well. I was rereading the life of Hudson Taylor, and I came across the last part of it, and said every time Hudson Taylor, you know, meets a lot of challenges and problems and difficulties, he would read the scriptures even more. So how many times did he read the Lord's word from Genesis to Revelation? When I read how many times, my heart was rebuked and challenged. He read the scriptures 40 times over. Just in case we miss it, it's 40. Wow. Are we anywhere near that yet? Probably not. Increasing in the knowledge of God. How did he do that work? Increasing. And that's pretty amazing what he did. Right? And it's something we take a look at his life where they begin to realize that that is a tremendous amount of need to increase in the knowledge of God's word. If we don't read Isaiah at camp, the chances of you reading Isaiah, not very high. Understanding it, even lower. Let's seek. Want to walk worthy? Increase in the knowledge. Want to walk worthy? Be fruitful. That's what walking worthy is. Now further, let's go on further. What does walk worthy mean? Here we go. Next part of it. Verse 11. Right? And this is important. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. To all patience, perseverance, and long-suffering with joy. You know, this too is a part under category walking worthy. Well, Milton says you all end about 10:15 at Vespers. That's where the committee begins meeting. So while you all go and rest, we will be meeting to discuss, to review, to pray. And we normally don't finish till about midnight. How do we do this? Again here, we walk worthy according to the strength he gives. That's what it is, isn't it? Strength. So when I see, you know, all the younger people, and then, you know, a short message like this, and you're very tired. Well, if we really want to walk worthy, then walk worthy must be in his strength. You see the whole idea? There are two goals only, right? Now, first part of it is very, very, very clear. That we may know what the will of God is in wisdom and spiritual understanding. It must be there. It must begin with knowledge. Without that knowledge, we can't go further. It's not about activity. It's not about starting this and that. It is about spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. If we don't begin here, we cannot begin anywhere else. This is Paul's prayer, Colossians. It's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. It's Paul's prayer all the time. Knowledge, spiritual, wisdom, understanding, absolutely necessary. Okay? The second part. After with all the knowledge, what do you do with all the knowledge? Walk. I was very delighted when I read about how a lot of times, you know, people like Hudson Taylor and you're looking at other people, William Carey. Look, when they went missionaries in the early days, they don't have trains, they don't have buses. They walk. To them, it was nothing to walk all the way from one end to the other, 4 miles, 8 miles, to meet an official somewhere. So when I look at the word walk, I say, wow. That's what we want to do. Keep walking. But not just walk physically. Walk with the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord's calling. You ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. You ask for knowledge, he will give it to you. But the question is, what do you do with it? It must inspire you to walk worthy of the Lord. Right? So what are the things we look for? Look for strength. Look for fruit. Look for fully pleasing the Lord. Right? And having done all that of praying, now we need to look at this. Verse 12, let's do it with giving thanks. Let's pray with thanksgiving that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We walk in that light. But of course, as we should, I am looking forward very, very much to explain the ministry of the prophets, to understand why God raised up prophets, why God had to speak to his people the way he did, why God has to minister the way he did in the past and in the present. Sometimes people write to me and they say, Pastor, I hope that God will speak to me. You know what's my answer? God has already spoken. Did you hear? This morning, he speaks again. If you are praying, pray for these two goals to be fulfilled. What is it? One, know his will and then do it. Two, walk worthy of the Lord. The rest are just details. But these are our goals. Details are important too, but the goals must be clearly established. That's what we want to do, and we cannot get none. We are only looking at the first 8 chapters of Isaiah. So people are asking, how many more years are we going to study Isaiah? See, it's not the years that I'm counting. It is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And God speaks through his word, through his prophets, through his servants. He wants to tell you his will. The challenge for you is, Lord, reveal to me your will. And two, Lord, help me walk worthy of this calling, of this knowledge, of the revelation of his will to our lives. May this be our prayer. Now let's pray together. This morning, let's join our hearts in prayer for Quang Ting Woon. Let's pray for him that he will open his heart and his mind to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior in faith. And we are all challenged because we have many members in our family who do not know the Lord. Let it be our heart's desire to be filled with the knowledge of his will, of his word, so that we can minister effectively. Our Father, this morning we thank you that we can learn how to sharpen the way we pray. Lord, teach us to pray with goals in mind. This morning we pray that we may truly be enlightened, that we may be filled with the knowledge of your will, and having understood it in wisdom and spiritual understanding, to be able to walk worthy in fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work. And Father, that we may be strengthened with your might and your power. We pray for Quang Ting Woon this morning and ask that you would open his heart, his mind, to seeing the Lord Jesus, understanding him, believing in him, being received into your kingdom. We pray for his wife and the children and members of the family who are deeply concerned for him. We pray that you will comfort them and help them to find faith too. We pray, Father, that you will bless the family camp coming up. We pray that you teach us how to exercise patience and perseverance as we drive there. We pray for your blessings as we commence camp this evening. Lord, hear this our prayer and fulfill this that we ask for this morning. In Jesus' name.